Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Carolina Hurricanes. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate our visits with you every week. And I think you know what question is coming, but maybe with a little different twist this time. This is something that we've been discussing all week long. Has John Hines done enough since the trade deadline of keeping this team in the playoff conversation? Has John Hines done enough to continue coaching this team into next season, even through the general manager shift?
Well, put it this way. I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, it's always tough when a new GM comes in because you're not really sure how a new GM feels. And I understand that Barry Trotz has not tipped his hand on this one way or the other. Just from watching what's happened, I would say at the deadline, I was thinking, and then when the news came that David Poile was basically retiring from the GM job, I thought there was a chance that Hines was in trouble. But now I'm not as convinced. I think that what's happened since then, and I have to say, Carolyn, sometimes I'm very wary about teams who do well after the season is kind of over. But Predators season isn't over. Like, they're still in the race. And incredibly, they still have an opportunity. Especially the fact that he has another year remaining on his contract. I actually personally feel it's more likely now that he stays on than I did at the deadline.
Now, Elliot, looking at their season, regardless of how it goes, because we know where it was trending before March 4th, and then after March 4th, these young guys came in, and they just started to play lights out, and UC always plays lights out, so that's no different. But do you think no matter how the season ends, that it's a win for the Nashville Predators?
I don't know that I would say that, Derek. I think that any time you make the playoffs and then you don't make the playoffs, I think it's very hard to sell it as a win. I think that one of the things you're going to look at, and I think overall, it kind of goes back to my last answer, even though overall I think people are going to be disappointed, the fact that Tommy Novak now looks like a player, that's a win for you guys. And I think that some of the players who got put into the lineup, like Novak, and the way they played, like Evangelista, he was supposed to, from what I understand, play one game, and he's still there. Like, I think the win for the Predators this year is that a year ago, I don't think you guys knew if any of these young guys, like how effective they were going to be or how much of a role they were going to have. Now I think you do, and I think that's your win. But overall, I generally do think it's harder to paint a season. Like, after the season you had last year, it's tough to say this year's a win. But I think individually, you've got some wins.
Now, headed into the offseason, I do hope the Nashville Predators do find a way to squeak themselves into the playoffs, and it gives those younger guys even more opportunity to gain some experience in the playoffs. Do you expect, if the season ends, you know, during the regular season, or if they find themselves in the playoffs, after it's all said and done, do you think heading into the next season that the expectations would be a little bit higher than maybe it should be because of what they've been able to do during, you know, since March 4th?
Well, I think this. I think that making the playoffs in this league is hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, only half the teams in the league make it. I'm actually a big believer that they should expand the playoffs. I would love to see an NBA-style play-in brought into the NHL. Now, the biggest problem is the commissioner hates the idea, and he's kind of got a lot of votes. So it's tough to argue with him on that one. I just know that it's very hard to come out in a lot of these markets and say, we don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year. A bunch of teams did it this year. There's a bunch of teams that are openly tanking. And I understand why they're doing it, because of the player that's available at the top of the draft. But I don't think that's a great long-term strategy. I think if you're going to do it, I just don't think your team is bad enough to do that. I think some of these other teams are bad enough to do that. I don't think you guys are. And I just think the other thing, too, is looking at some of the guys on your roster, like, you think Roman Josi is going to want to hear that we're tanking for a few years, or UC Saros is going to want to hear we're tanking for a few years? I just don't think that's reasonable to expect for some of the players on your roster. So I think you're going to be going for it as much as you can.
Elliot, a lot of us here were watching closely Winnipeg against Calgary last night, because Nashville, they've got Carolina tonight, and then they hop a plane tomorrow. They've got Winnipeg and Calgary head up. And if you're looking for the miracle, right, there's still a pathway there, and it was helped by Calgary winning last night. So give us the dynamic. I mean, you're right watching that game. Two Canadian markets, only room for one of them. There's a lot of drama in that one.
Yes, there absolutely was a lot of drama, and it was very disappointing for the Winnipeg Jets, because I think in a lot of ways they had the opportunity to end the playoff race last night. And I think that's what good teams do. When they have the opportunity to end a race, they go and they end the race. And these guys didn't do that. They let Cal, like, if they, even if they go to overtime, it's really good for Winnipeg. Now, here's the thing. Here's the Jets' advantage. They have played one fewer game than Calgary, one more game than you. But the other thing the Jets have is the number one tiebreaker is regulation wins. And that's where you guys are really in trouble. You guys have to beat out both Calgary and the Jets, because you have 28, the Flames have 30, and the Jets have 33. Like, you could catch the Flames in that total and pass them, but you're not catching the Jets in that total and passing them. So the big dynamic is you guys have to beat the Jets outright. You have no margin for error. You've got to take care of business tonight, and then you've got to take care of business on Saturday and Monday, and then we'll see where we are. If you guys do that, it's going to be an insane ending to the season. I kind of want to see it. Like, I want to see excitement.
I think we all do.
I like excitement. I want the end of the season to be exciting. I want to see you guys make it interesting.
Well, and even the thing is, even if they lose tonight, there's still at least something on the line when they get on the plane to go on that last road trip. And, Elliot, I think you could have thrown that to me on March the 3rd or whatever the day of the trade deadline, I would have said, you're insane. There's no way that they're mathematically going to be alive when they go on that last road trip. So that alone, especially if you told me on March 3rd, Roman Josi's going to get hurt. He's going on now 2.5 weeks out of there. Forsberg hasn't come back. He was already out. They're going to lose Alex Carrier. They're going to lose. I mean, they're still missing 8 regular players. That otherwise would be in there, not even counting the ones that they traded. So I do think holding it together and being competitive has been really exciting to watch.
Well, I think it has been, and I think that's credit to the players. But like I said, I think the big victory is for your organization, if you don't make the playoffs, is now you know that Tommy Novak has a spot next year on your team. And at the beginning of the year, you didn't know that. Now you know that Cody Glass is an NHL player. At the beginning of the year, you didn't know that. I think you know that some of the guys you were hoping, like Evangelista, you were hopeful he was going to be a big part of this team, but you didn't know that, and now you know that. I think that's the victories. I mean, the other thing about next week, guys, is your schedule allows you to play Saros every game if you want to. Like, you've got Carolina tonight, day off. Winnipeg Saturday, day off. Calgary Monday, 2 days off. And then that Minnesota-Colorado back-to-back. And I think that's the big one for me is, if you want to, I think the schedule allows you to play. Now, obviously, you might have to give up. If you're giving up one, you're giving up one of the back-to-backs. But because those games have 2 days off before it, you can play Saros every night the rest of the year if you wanted to. If you wanted to. And that gives you your best chance.
Yep. And hats off to Kevin Lankinen for giving mm-hmm. them the big victory against Vegas the other night in the back,
yes.
the back-to-back. That was huge. No question about it. Elliot, before we let you go, just looking at Carolina's situation tonight, they've got a three-point edge. So just looking at what they have to play for, they have the inside track to get the one seed. But, man, if you're them, you want to make sure you stay out of that two out of three death match, right?
Yeah, absolutely you do. Like New Jersey's playing Columbus tonight. Like, the thing about Carolina is they got a three-point lead on the Devils and they got a game in hand. So they're in the driver's seat, right? Like, it's their division to lose, and even because they're both tied in regulation wins. So it's all on Carolina. It's their driver's seat, and New Jersey is playing Columbus tonight, and the Blue Jackets are trying to, you know, win the lottery. So you got to pencil that in as a W for the Devils. The good thing that could help you tonight is that Rod Brind'Amour might be distracted. His son, Skyler, is playing in the NCAA Frozen Four tonight for Quinnipiac. So he might be paying more attention to that game than your game. That might be something that could really help you out.
They'll take all the help they can get because Carolina has been really, really good, no matter who they're playing, but they've definitely done well. One more quick one, Elliot. The drama in the East for the wild card is really, really big with the Panthers. And then you got Pittsburgh, who's made it every year since 2007. They are hanging on by their fingernails.
Yeah, you think about it, it could be the first time in, what, 15 years that Pittsburgh and Washington don't make the playoffs? You know, the Capitals are already out. Like, it's pretty incredible to think of. I don't like this for Pittsburgh. I don't like betting against Crosby. I really hate it, actually. But I think the Islanders have the best goaltending, and I always pick the team that has the best goaltending. And, you know, the Penguins, like, watching that game the other night, they got pushed around. And I know that everybody thinks of Pittsburgh as this great skill team because of Crosby and Malkin, but when they were winning for their Stanley Cups, they pushed teams around. They did not get pushed around. And they get pushed around a lot this year, and it happened especially the other night. That's the biggest thing, aside from the injuries and goal, that's the biggest thing I've worried about them for this season. That's one of the reasons I think they're in as much trouble as they're in.
Quinnipiac being the Predators' potential saving grace was not on my bingo card for this season, but it's been a wild season, so why not? Anything's on the table. Yeah. Elliot Friedman, SportsNet.
It's this kind of year, Carolyn. It's this kind of year.
Yeah, exactly. It's silly season. So thank you, Quinnipiac. And thank you, Elliot Friedman. Always appreciate our chats every week. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys, have a great week.
All right, thanks. You too, Elliot. Now, coming up next, we kind of touched on it with Elliot, but we will get into Willie's official Predators playoff watch coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
It's kind of how we're feeling with the Nashville Predators at the moment. Money Puck gives the Preds a 5.8% chance to make the playoffs, which is not great odds, but you're saying there's a chance.
They're odds nonetheless.
So we are here with Willie's official Predators playoff watch. What do the Predators need to do, and what needs to happen around the rest of the NHL for those odds to go from 5.8 to maybe a little bit higher? Willie, take it away.
Yeah, it changes. The good news is they're higher today than they were yesterday.
Okay.
And if they could win tonight, they'll be higher tomorrow than they were today. For example, last night, as we referenced there with Elliot Friedman, there was a big game up in Canada between the Flames and the Jets. As Elliot said, and I think he was correct, had the Jets won that game, they really would have had a lockdown. They could have almost mailed it in from there and still been tough to catch. Mm-hmm. But the Flames beat them in regulation time. And so Winnipeg, they're playoff odds, according to Sports Club Stats, and that's what I'm using. Money Puck might be a little different. ESPN Stats and Info might be a little different.
They're all
Dom kinda... Lucision from The Athletic will probably have something else. But their playoff odds went from 85% going into the game last night down to 66%. So Winnipeg still has the best odds to get that last playoff spot, even though they did not play well last night and got beat at home where they had a chance to close it out. Mm-hmm. Nashville's up next for them. Nashville goes in there on Saturday night. So, again, you're telling me there's a chance. Nashville's playoff odds last night without playing went from 4% to 9.6%.
And they ain't have to do nothing.
They just sat there and watched the game. So tonight, this is their next chance. They have five games left. Uh-huh. Winnipeg only has four. So this is the game in hand. You're playing a really good team in Carolina. They're a buzzsaw. They're trying to hold on to the number one seed, so they have something to play for. They would be the number two seed overall, but they would be their division champion, and you avoid having to play the Rangers or the Devils in the first round, which would be tough. And you're trying to hang on so that you would play either the Islanders, the Penguins, or the Panthers. Those are the three teams alive in the East. Big difference in playing one of those teams as opposed to the Devils or the Islanders, right? So you have something to play for. They're not going to mail it in tonight. They're not on back-to-backs. So you're going to get, I think, despite Quinnipiac, you're going to get the full throttle of the Hurricanes. I don't think they're going to rest players or anything like that. So this is a tall order for the Predators. John Hines said no Roman Josi tonight. You are going to see, I think he said this, Livingstone. Livingstone is going to make his debut tonight. So.
Guys, do you love him? Finally, asked about him a few times. Yeah.
You got to let the kid play.
Let's see what he's got.
You're letting everybody else play. Let the kid play.
Bring
see what
up,
he got.
Bring him up.
Well, that will be interesting to see how many minutes he plays, how comfortable he is. Can he make a play? Who knows? I mean, we'll see. Spencer Stastny, who came up from Milwaukee, the latest guy, you know, he's played three pretty good games. He was out there in the overtime the other night. Guy was in Milwaukee for 4 months, 5 months.
He go to Milwaukee from the overtime.
Throw you in there, game, season on the line, 3-on-3. Get him in there. But he's done pretty well, Stastny, in the three games. But, again, you got a really good team, a deep team coming at you tonight. So even if Nashville loses this game, if they won the next four, they would have a shot. It's according to Sports Club Stats, 54% chance to get in there, and so you would have to win in regulation against the Jets and the Flames. But if you do that, then all of a sudden it gets very interesting there. But obviously, if you grab a point tonight, or preferably two, man, you're really putting the pressure on those two teams. In those markets, you heard Elliot. That was a big game last night. All of Canada was watching that game.
Right.
So the pressure on those two franchises to make the playoffs is enormous. If one of them is going to fall short for sure, and if both of them fall short, you're going to have two markets that are just really, really disappointed because they've been there. The expectation for them, they're a little bit like Nashville was at the beginning of the year. Nashville sold and got a bunch of assets. The Jets and the Flames didn't do that. The Jets traded for Nino Niederreiter. They made a couple other trades too to add guys. They're mortgaging the future. The Flames stood pat. They didn't trade anybody off. So their expectation is to make the playoffs. So they're feeling the pressure. You can't quantify what that means in playoff odds, but that sets the table, I think, for tonight. But all you can control if you're in that Predators locker room is what can you do tonight? Can you put another formula together that gives you a chance as a big underdog against a powerful team? And you got UC Saros rested and ready to go.
And, of course, they can only control what they can control. And, of course, the Predators need to take care of their own business. Mm-hmm. But they can be helped a whole lot by some other teams around the league. Is there one other game besides Hurricanes-Preds tonight that you would circle that is important for Preds fans to keep an eye on in terms of the playoff race? And, again, I know it's slim odds. It's a long shot for the Predators to make the playoffs. But as long as they're alive, we'll keep talking about it.
You love that you're still in the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said to Elliot, on March the 4th, the three of us were talking. They had just the hit 2 o'clock. You're like, are they going to make any more trades? Like, how many more have we got here? Who's going to be left by the time? You would never would have thought they would still be mathematically alive for tonight. As far as the games tonight, Winnipeg and Calgary do not play. So mm-hmm.
so
that is
those are your
those are the two
main ones
key
you got
guys
keep an eye
to
on.
Watch for sure. The other thing that I would say, if you want to keep an eye on something other than the Predators game tonight, is if you're playing this game of can you stay alive and give yourself a chance, ideally, the last two opponents, Minnesota and Colorado, mm-hmm. right now they're in a three-way tie for first in the Central. Now, by next week, would it help a little bit if they're playing their last game and they are set, can't go up, can't go down, to where maybe they're smart enough to say, or not smart enough, but maybe they're considering, look, let's rest three or four guys. Let's not get anybody hurt the last game of the season. We can't move. We got to make sure we don't get anybody hurt. Maybe that helps Nashville a little bit. So I'm not sure who you'd be rooting for, but you would hope that it sorts itself out. The Wild play the Penguins tonight. That's a big game because the Penguins are fighting to stay in, as Elliot was talking about. They've made the playoffs every year since 07.
Yeah.
That's before Hal Gill became a Penguin and well before he became a Predator. So we're talking about a long time. And let's see. Colorado tonight is in San Jose to play the Sharks. Colorado still has the inside track. They played one less game. They got the Sharks tonight. I still think at the end of it, likely Colorado will be the one seed. But you would love for them to go get it.
Clinch
keep
it. Winning.
So
clinching.
The last game of the season, they might say, well, let's rest X, Y, and Z because we have nothing to play for in this game.
Which is one thing, one teeny tiny silver lining that we looked at the rest of the remainder of the Predator schedule is all of these playoff teams that you play at the end of the season, maybe they call the dogs off a little bit at the end of the season. You're
right.
Able to pick up a few more points
right.
towards the end of the season. Just edge your way in there a little bit. Well, Willie's Predator playoff watch will keep everyone updated throughout the week as the Predators try and inch their way into the playoffs. 5.8% per moneypuck.com, but, you know, different odds throughout different websites out there that do different breakdowns for the playoffs. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, tune in for Sounds Baseball doubleheader tonight at 4:50 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds, AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. You can join 1025, The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Carolina Hurricanes. But we kept you all updated on Tuesday. TD put this out on Tuesday. The Metro Nashville Sports Authority unanimously approved final documents for a new Titan Stadium agreement, which is a big next step into, you know, finalizing the Titan Stadium agreement and the next step in putting a bow on things. So that was the final vote that the Nashville Sports Authority needed to put on the stadium agreement. Now, the next step for that was a Metro Council approval. Now, the Metro Council met on Tuesday to vote on that. So there are three separate votes from the Metro Council that are needed in order for this deal to be done. They had the first vote. The second vote was supposed to be on Tuesday, and that would then lead to the third and final vote. However, on Tuesday, that vote didn't happen. And there is a Capitol reporter for the Tennessean, her name is Cassandra Stevenson, who had a long, long, long thread from the Metro Council meeting touching on all of the details from all of the bullet points on the meeting agenda for the Metro Council. And I'll be honest with everybody, I really tried to follow it. I really tried to follow the political rhetoric. And I just
good effort.
I
good effort, by the way, just for deciding to
quite
try.
Follow it. I yeah. tried. So shout out to everybody who covers any sort of, you know, Metro Council or anything. I am not a government girly, if that's not obvious. So I tried. But basically, there was a very long debate going back and forth about the vote that Metro Council needed to put through in order to get to the next steps of approving or not approving the Titan Stadium. And they ultimately decided to postpone that vote. Now, I believe that vote has been postponed for April 18th. I believe the third vote was originally scheduled to be April 18th. Mm-hmm. And now that second vote will be postponed after a whole lot of back and forth, a whole lot of debate from some members of the Metro Council. So I guess the overall question is, does this make you a little bit nervous about the deal going through? Because I'll go back a couple months ago when this was really, I know, catching steam, when the renderings were coming out, when they were putting into place exactly how this was going to be funded. And I thought, okay, this is happening. The Titans are getting a new stadium. You know, the plans are rolling and we're ready. Now some of the hiccups in the process, I think I'm a little less certain today than I was a few days ago.
I'm not worried about it not going through, period, but I am concerned that this is going to take longer, as it did with the soccer stadium, with the process, that that 2026 might be a little optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get this thing going quick so they can actually put some shovels in the ground and start building, you know, I think there is a scenario where, just with all the details, that, like, Derek, you were saying to me during the break, there's always seems to be extra costs, mm-hmm. right? You know, you put that proposal out there, and you're like, okay, well, they said $50 million for this over here, but it might actually be closer to $60 million. You know, there's always, it's everything I've ever seen in projects like mm-hmm. that. It's like that.
Yeah,
whether you're talking about a sports project
yeah.
or a hotel downtown or something like that.
Right.
I think there's always extra, and I'm sure when they're putting all this together, they give themselves sort of a buffer. We project it to be 2.1, well, 2 million, but we're going to say 2.1. Or we project it really to be, you know, $1.9 billion, but it's going to more than likely end up being 2.1, so we'll set it at 2.1. You always got to give, especially huge projects like this, because, you know, some things can be out of your control. Like supplies, where are they coming from? Are they going to get here in a timely fashion? You know,
weather.
What is, you know, the world of economics? What's going on in the world? Does the, you know, economics slow up? You know, do we go back into sort of a mild recession? There's a lot of things that can happen while you're in the process of building a stadium. So, but from what I understand, you know, if this thing goes past a certain date, then the Tennessee Titans are on the hook for that. I may be wrong about that, but I believe that's what I heard. So maybe that's what I read. So, you know, they're going to – I don't think anyone expected it to be, hey, listen, this is what we're want. This is what we're thinking. This is what we want. And then everybody's saying, okay, yeah, let's all agree on it in the first meeting. All right, Titans, let's get that stadium going. No one ever thought it would be that way. In a perfect world, yes. But there's things that people are sort of, you know, trying to get out and, you know, trying to make it best for them in the city.
And it's not an easy thing that it's going to move forth, especially since the Titans are getting such a sweetheart deal from the city. And this is the biggest deal, you know, public fund deal in the history of the NFL, where the owning team, the family that owns the team, mm-hmm. isn't putting up more money for the stadium. So this is a very sweetheart deal that the Titans are getting, that the city is being so cooperative and willing to put so much money forth. So that's another thing that kind of puts a wrench in things, is there are a lot of, you know, T's that needed to be crossed and I's that needed to be dotted in terms of finances and how on the hook the city really is for this deal, for the stadium deal. And to be fair, yeah, and it's, whenever it came out, whenever there were discussions, the initial discussions, I think it was just a whole lot of excitement thinking about the Super Bowl and a college football playoff and a potential Final Four.
And here's the computer renderings. And check this out. Look at this, man. It's awesome. My house is over here, and it's going to be awesome.
And it's
gonna
really
cost
exciting.
You.
And it's really exciting to begin with. And whenever you start to hear about all the things that it could be. And then whenever it gets closer, whenever you really have to get into the nitty-gritty of the things of it's actually happening and we need to get this deal off the ground and we need to get a whole lot of people on board for a whole lot of money and to be really cooperative over the next few years as the deal continues to get done and the stadium gets built, that's whenever things
it's sort of like
less exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of like, as you're talking, it reminds me of, you know, you're going to that phase of building a house or renovating a house, and, you know, the builder, the architect, everybody, designer are saying, you know, this is what you can have, and you're sitting over there like, yeah, put that in there. Oh, I want, yeah, as soon as I step in the closet, I want the doors to open, the lights to come on, the heat, the floors to be, I want all, yeah,
towel warmer.
Oh, come on, yeah. Throw it in. So we're all, and then as we start to get down in the nitty-gritty and figuring out the numbers, yeah. It's like, oh, it's going to be that?
Well, maybe we don't need the lights.
Well, maybe I don't need to walk in my closet and the heat turns on and the lights come on and the door open. Maybe I don't need that. Maybe I don't need this over here. Maybe I don't need that over here. Because eventually, once you get over, like you said, Willie, once you get over the excitement of, or Caroline, once you get over the excitement of, ooh, yes, yes.
Now Super Bowl!
Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How much is this going to cost? How much we got to pay for? How much are y'all paying for? What's the deal here? So I guess that's – I don't see it not happening, but it may take a little bit longer than what they probably expected on the front end.
And they already pushed it back to 2027.
Yeah.
It's 2026, to your point, Willie. It sounded ambitious to begin with, and now as the important votes start to get delayed a little bit more and there's a lot longer discussion that's happening, it get pushed back longer and longer and longer. But coming up next, let's continue the conversation about what exactly is it that could be holding things up and some of the perspectives from the Metro City Council members. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
I would say that the $600 million figure is very dated at this point and never came from real engineering looking at the facility, looking at what would be needed to upgrade it, to update it, and to maintain it over a long period of time. And so when we finally got experts to go in there and look, including Venue Solutions Group, who was commissioned by the council and the mayor's office to do an independent review of what the Titans renovation plan would cost, they came back and said it cost $1.88. And so you break down what that would cost. It's $1.88 billion. What that would cost, that would include some $350 million of just the infrastructure enabling projects to begin the work. And so one of the things I think that's important to remember with Nissan Stadium, you referred to it as a crap hole.
It's a crap hole.
Your word, not mine. I've always had a great time there. Although I will say it's evident when you go to other stadiums around the country, we're not keeping pace with our current stadium. And so that's where that first class definition comes from. That term comes from the original lease signed in the 90s that refers to comparable stadiums around the country. You look at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, they've had to do $1.3 billion of work to keep that stadium in good condition. We have $350 million of work that's needed just to enable the project to move forward.
That was the East Bank Stadium Committee Chair Bob Mendez. Was always going to chuckle whenever I hear him say crap hole in that monotone kind of voice. But that was East Bank Stadium Committee Chair Bob Mendez, who throughout kind of this entire process has been very skeptical of the entire project and is part of the reason why some of his amendments were part of the reason why the second vote at the Metro City Council that was scheduled for Tuesday has been postponed until later on this month on April 18th. Now, that second vote is going to be so key, is vital in moving the process forward for a potential new Titan Stadium. Now, Bob Mendez brings up some of the cost concerns, and there were three amendments that he brought up at the meeting on Tuesday night that kind of delayed a lot of this of the vote and created a lot of discussion. One of those being the costs around the stadium. That's what you heard him talk about there. The infrastructure costs around the stadium, that $350 million are going to go into just making sure that that area around the stadium can support that stadium and just making sure that there's a solid foundation. That's $350 million. And then at that point, you're just getting started. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the amendments that slowed things up. The second thing is the expenditure of public funds. Now, I will never act like I am an expert on exactly what that means, but it's basically just how much money the state has to put forward in order to get this project off the ground. And the third thing was state threats to local control. So really, you know, who is in charge of the stadium? Who is in charge of that area? Since the state is putting forth a lot of money, the Metro Sports Council is putting forth a lot of money, and the Titans themselves are putting forth a lot of money, how much control is divided up amongst all of the investors into the stadium, and how do they divide that control? Who has final say? We've had that conversation before about the Titans. But those are the biggest things that Bob Mendez brought up, is how much it would cost to just get things started, how much money that the state is on the hook for, and three, control of the stadium and the land around it.
Now, was the 1.2 or whatever it was billion, is that what would that consist of bonds and stuff like that?
So the breakdown in the Tennessean, 1.26 billion. The breakdown is 760 million from the Sports Authority revenue bonds.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly what that means. I'll be honest with you, but it's the Sports Authority revenue bonds. $500 million in state bonds, so that would come from the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would be the 1.26 billion. And then 840 million of that, the remainder of the cost of the stadium, would be private sources, predominantly from Amy Adams Strunk and the Adams family.
The Adams family, the NFL, and any other
PSLs.
Yeah, the PSL. So,
and maybe investors that want to
private investors
get some businesses going around.
So
there.
What it seems like, again, the state is on the hook for the majority of the project. Whereas, and listen, this is what happens. I'm not saying it's right nor it's wrong. This is what happens when you say, yes, I want an NFL team in my city.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you're going to have, especially when you didn't do the necessary, you know, work from an infrastructure standpoint to build a stadium that was transitional, a stadium that you can just, you didn't have to tear down, you can add to, you know. When you didn't do that, now you put yourself in a bind as a city, mm-hmm. because you've reaped all the rewards of them being off the Cumberland for the last 20 years, 20 plus years. And if you say that's not the case, you're lying to yourself. Everybody understands when a professional football team comes to your city, it changes it from an economic standpoint. You know, it makes it the it city to come to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nashville is a prime example. Nashville doesn't grow the way it's growing if it doesn't have the professional teams that it has within this, not the state, but the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nashville is not Nashville without the Titans and the Predators.
100%.
So when you say, hey, I want a team here, you got to understand eventually that team is going to want a new stadium.
Yep.
And whether reluctantly or not, whether I agree with it or disagree with it, this is the bed you're in now. Now you got to find a way to work it out where it's a mutual thing between the state and the team.
I have to agree. And what you have to hope is that there's a good partnership with all these parties, mm-hmm. that are working together. And when it gets contentious, and it will, on some of the budgets and things like that, that you have people that can communicate and work through it. Because, like you said, Derek, if you want to, at the end of the rainbow, get the Super Bowl and the Final Four and stuff like that, there's going to be some growing pains to get the thing built, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy, for sure. And when they got the team, they put the stadium up at about as minimum of cost as they could at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Major League Sports was so foreign to Nashville that I don't, you know, they couldn't possibly sit there and say, well, you know, we got to think 50 years down the road. Let's build this unbelievable. I mean, they built it not too far off of the state-of-the-art stadiums at the time. It was sort of just the run-of-the-mill thing, but it was about at the minimum that they could possibly do it. And from there, and I think this is partially the Titans' choice, they didn't invest in the stadium. If you look at this building we're in here, in the arena, I think it's fair to say the Predators have put quite a bit back in, mm-hmm. to the amenities here to keep it relevant. So we're not talking about, hey, we need a new arena. Mm-hmm. This arena is run down. They have, I think that's just what, like if you're a homeowner, you're constantly should be evaluating. If you just never do any maintenance to your house to speak of, then over time it's going to depreciate mm-hmm. quicker. And so you put all that together, no question, we need a new stadium for sure. There's such an upside to getting it done, but it is going to be costly.
And that's my question is, if it doesn't go through, and you know all of these discussions, I still think that it will, what's the alternative?
You not have
there is no alternative.
Exactly. So, you know, you get through all the nitty gritty and you have to figure out all the dollars and cents and all of the numbers. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to. Yeah.
Well, there's always an alternative. You cannot have a team, but I don't think no
I don't
one
think
wants
that's
to go
right.
that far.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think no one wants to go that far.
But I think that if you're asking the three of us, would we rather have a team or not have a team? I think it's pretty obvious
what
the three of us would say.
And to their credit, Amy Adams has not done what her dad did to Houston, basically saying, look, if you don't build me a stadium, I'm leaving. They haven't played that card, fortunately for anybody, and I hope it never gets
and
to that.
And I don't think
right?
they will play that card, hopefully.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Predators in action tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll have all your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love somebody. Peace.